15 that probably presents the Wrestling Round Tables, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, didn't like, and what was just flat out horrendous. Raw took place in. Did I fuck that up?
No.
I feel like I fucked that up.
I don't think so. You did the regular opening.
Yeah.
Oh, like... no, you're supposed to say it's me, Sterling Pearl, and it's Miller.
Well, since I fucked that up, it's me, Sterling Pearl.
It's Miller.
And Raw took place in Chi-Town.
Oh, that's Chi-Town. Right.
Chi-Town.
I love my city.
She won't fuck with a hitter from Chi-Town. Chi-Town.
That sounds dope. Chi-Town. Yo, shout out 4.
Yeah, shout out 4.
Shout out Ryan. That's my dog, bro.
Oh, Ryan be checking them off.
Man,
yo.
Ryan, look, I know this is a little off subject, but let me tell you, anybody mad at Ryan, you need to shut up because that is a businessman and he keeping it 100. You're not finna put me in a bad situation and don't think I'm gonna get my comeuppance. I'm gonna just let you know.
Yo, Ryan be checking that.
And Van is a,
Because all cause
Van is Venetia to me. I can't stand that dude. He's very feminine. He does feminine ass things.
You know, he definitely, not that I don't think he does feminine things, but
he works with his emotions a lot.
Yeah.
He does stuff where I'm like, why, bro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I was mad that Van was taking Cass side.
Me too. I felt like he was trying to hit.
Like, but he kissed her too. They all mess with Cat. At some point in time.
Wait, he did too?
Yeah, they Cat made that. When they first talked about how Ryan hit Cat, that was the whole joke. Because they was like, cause you know, obviously 4.
Right, shit. I remember. Right.
Yeah, then they were talking about how Van kissed her too and shit. But look, Cat was bogus because you made a conscious decision knowing that this dude had somebody. Now shut your fucking mouth.
Right. That look, was my thing.
Look, I don't care who's listening and who sit there and say, oh man, you fucked up. Look, nope. When you make conscious decisions like that, I don't give a fuck how much that motherfucker was sweet talking you. When you make conscious decisions knowing that somebody got somebody, well, guess what? You shut the fuck up.
Not even that, too. What I also say is, you need to. It's on TV. You already going to have to deal with it. It was recorded.
It was never going to be on TV.
No, it wasn't?
No.
She should just left it alone.
She kept trying to bring that shit up.
And you still don't have a TV show. So what was the point?
You were trying to tell her, man, shut that shit up. Like, we ain't got to talk about that shit.
Yeah.
I remember there was an episode where he tried to cut off the mic.
Yeah, he was like, come on, man.
Yeah. But she was all in her feelings about the shit. Look. You know, all I know is this. If I'm messing with a female, I know she got somebody. Guess what? I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
You got nothing to say, bro.
I don't give a shit how much she sweet talk me. I don't give a fuck how she talk about how if she want to be like, ooh, you know, I want to be with you. No. No, no. And maybe that's just come from a different mentality that I have, I guess. Because I'm not even finna fall for those tricks or games and shit like that. I don't care how much you want to sweet talk me. I know what this is. This is us having sex. That's what that is. We're very attracted to each other.
Right.
And that's it. It doesn't need to go further than that.
You don't need no more.
Didn't need to go further than that. And I feel like Kat, she crossed the line. And you know.
Because even Ryan, told her that. She was like, why is you coming to me with this?
Yeah.
Talking about I'm going to come to you as a woman. Get out of here with that.
But you know, because you know that ain't what it is and stuff. And granted, shit, Ryan got lucky to get her back though.
Mm-hmm.
She almost walked off on that motherfucker. But Rachel, bad.
Yeah. And she'll ride or die, bro.
Yeah, so hopefully this was his last time.
I think he learned his lesson. I can see it in his eyes that he was like, bro, never again.
Never again.
Yeah, not that. No.
I ain't gonna lie though. I be looking at Cat pictures though on Instagram's Naive. She be looking good in the motherfucker though.
You know who? Never mind. Let me be quiet.
Cat Tat. She dope too. She a dope ass artist, but I mean.
If Lily wasn't so crazy, she'd be fine to me. But she's just nuts, bro.
Oh, she a problem.
She's just crazy. I just couldn't. Like, all that fine, and then you remember, like, oh, yeah, she's crazy as hell. My bad.
All those women, though, usually be crazy, though. I mean, you, Charmaine.
Oh, I would never.
And but she got body, and she fine, too.
Her attitude sucks.
Her attitude better than Lily's, though.
Oh, yeah, but she's a goofy.
Yeah.
Lily's just got, like, a drinking problem, and
What's her name? What's her friend's name? Her cousin, Danielle. I don't like Danielle.
I don't like Danielle.
Yeah, I don't like Danielle. I don't like Cobra, because she's too emotional.
Cobra annoys me because she's so ready to find, like, dirt. Every time there's something going on, it's her. Yeah, like, did you see what was on Instagram? Like, go sit down. Go do a tattoo.
Yeah. I actually like Ashley. I don't think she always handles her situations.
Yeah, she's a little...
She never handles them right. But I actually like her because I think... And especially like this last time. She made... What's the name? Even now, they still ain't get back together as far as the show goes. And stuff. With Don, I like that. She like, nah, motherfucker, you need to be begging to get me back. You fucked
the only
up.
Part I would say is the begging part, like hands and knees. I'm like, okay, relax. He's doing nice things. But I was mad at him because he do a nice thing and everything's back to normal. Like, bro, you got to put in work, dog. Yeah, sure. I've been there before, bro. You got to work.
It can be frustrating.
It's frustrating, but you got to work, man. And if you're not for it, then just say, you know what, this is way too much.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do all this. I ain't built.
Don't mean I don't love you, but I just can't do all that.
This is too much. You know what I mean? I messed up. You know what? I'm going to break up with myself.
Yeah. But you know what's dope, though? He recognized that, look, yep, it is going to be a process and stuff. And so maybe I shouldn't be tripping that hard and everything. Ashley, another one, she got body, boy.
Yeah.
She be banging.
Just sometimes her attitude.
But she be having that for a reason.
I know she does. I know.
Yeah, she has the attitude for a reason. That's why I give her a pass.
Okay.
But I'd be like, yo.
He didn't put you through a lot.
Yeah, he didn't put you through some shit. But at the same time, though. And that, see, that's one of those double-edged swords, though.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where maybe you do need to walk away from this whole situation because this motherfucker just ain't gonna never treat you right and stuff. But at the same time, man, I love Don, man. He cool the motherfucker.
Yeah. He cool. The only thing that, look, this is the last thing I'll say about that because we could go on and on all day. But the last thing I would say is the only part where I was mad at this dude was when he was kind of acting like, oh, well, like, nothing happened. I'm like, bro, you were on Snapchat, dog. Like, you just can't do it. Dog, you just can't do it. Like, there's no coming back. So stop acting like...
And why would you put it on Snap?
And what were you thinking? How can you be...
He wasn't thinking. Because if he was thinking, guess what?
Them drugs, bro.
He wouldn't have thought that.
That's what...
Shit. Sandlot taught me a lot, man. What you talking about? Shit. All right. That was the first segment of the Raw, Bad, and Ugly. That was the part of the Black Ink Crew Chicago.
Yeah, and we were, look, but that has something to do with Chicago. Where the show was, segue.
Yeah. Obviously, you got the Bulls.
Blackhawks.
They're back to the baby Bulls now.
Yeah.
You know.
But I can deal with it. It is what it is.
Yeah, hopefully Lauri Markkanen comes back sooner than later. I mean, he's supposed to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
That sucks, though. Especially for somebody who, man, he got in real great shape.
Yeah.
You know,
that dude, you know them gangs, man? That dude got swole.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, I ain't getting pushed around no more.
Chicago White Sox. Chicago Cubs. Oh.
Shout out to Elias. That was very funny. I'm sorry, sir. That had me rolling when he said, and the crowd would have went off if they wouldn't look. Because
it was a good little interruption with Ronda Rousey because, that was going to be Seattle 2.0 all over again.
Anger so fast.
Oh, man, dude. Look, because especially when you're talking about the Allstate Arena and everything, you get a lot of Chicago fans going there, but it's usually a lot of people that's Cub fans that go to that arena.
Mm-hmm. And there's Cub fans everywhere, bro. There's
because WGN. I mean, that's why. You had WGN and I was just nationwide. So, the Bears. Look at them Bears. The Bears, even though I don't fuck with Dicka at all.
Oh, me neither.
I don't fuck with that motherfucker. But I do fuck with my Bears. And I just want to thank Jay Fields personally. I want to thank you, brother, from the bottom of my heart. that your Raiders traded Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears. We had a top five defense, I mean top 10 defense last year, and guess what? We're going to be at least top five by the end of this year. At least top five. And right now, I have Khalil Mack and Patrick Mahomes on the leaderboard, if my vote count for anything, for MVP. That's how good Khalil Mack has been playing. You know, the last person that won a defensive player, I mean, won an MVP as a defensive player?
Who?
LT. Lawrence Taylor.
I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. And at some point, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to come down to earth just because it's the second year. Sometimes it's just hard to keep those numbers going like that. Which I think Khalil Mack can end up stealing this award this year. We'll see. He's definitely already defensive player.
Oh, yeah. He's probably, unless somebody does some craziness, which I can't see.
And I don't care what anybody say. The Los Angeles Rams defense isn't as good as advertised. And maybe that has something to do with the key to leave not being there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll all change when he gets back. But right now, I just don't believe they're as good as advertised. So, I think they can be beat. Everybody keep talking about how they're the best team in the league right now. I don't know, man. I think if you're going to say that, you might as well say Kansas City also the best team in the league.
Right. They're 5-0.
Yeah, they 5-0. They defense showed up last week. Regardless if you want to sit there and say, oh, that was Jacksonville. No, they defense showed up. That offense is still there. Still potent and shit. So, I don't know. Not to say that the Rams ain't good. I'm just not all the way there yet like everybody else. But anyway, let's get into the show, man. Got some news and rumors for us.
Oh, I got a match to watch first.
Oh, yeah. Give me that match to watch first.
So my match to watch is the junior heavyweight, the IWGP junior heavyweight decision match between Marty Scurll and Kushida. Kushida winning it for the sixth time. It was a really, really good match. I did think Marty Scurll was going to win because I thought he was due for a push. But it looks like that's not the case. And again, we got Kushida as champion, which I'm totally fine with. This is going to be very, very interesting going forward. But as far as the match was incredible. The chemistry that these two have was great. I really thought Marty Scurll was going to pull it out. Very dramatic match. But in the end, Kushida won. From the King of Pro Wrestling show that was Monday morning our time. So definitely go ahead and check that out. New Japan is on a roll. That King of Pro Wrestling show, top to bottom, was awesome. Not match to watch for, but I do have to mention, anybody who's followed ROH or was a fan or is a fan of Dragon Gate, you know who Shingo Takagi is. He was the new member of LIJ, and he really showed out in this match. For those that don't know, he just finished up with Dragon Gate on, I believe that was like Friday or something, and said he was going freelance, and here he is in New Japan, and he's already going to be teaming with Bushi in the junior heavyweight tournament, the Super Junior Tag Tournament. Dope thing about that, too, to me, is that Shingo's one of those tweeners where he could go heavyweight and he can go with the juniors. So he's a great addition to New Japan, especially if, you know, they lose Marty Scurll, Adam Page, and them. That's the one thing about New Japan. They know how to cover their ass, so to speak.
Yeah. You know the great thing about New Japan and ROH and just possibly just, you know, indie shows, period. When somebody get hurt, it's always that next man up. They know they have the star power to use it. And WWE sometimes just doesn't do that.
They pick the wrong person.
Yeah, they rather recycle or go with the wrong person just to be doing some shit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think WWE be drinking.
Well, it's a perfect example right now.
When they write their stories.
Alexa Bliss is injured. So we'll just jump into news and rumors right away.
Okay.
The reason why Originally, it was Alexa Bliss versus Trish Stratus in a one-on-one match. The reason why they changed it to a tag match is because she's still injured. And she's only able to do minor work. So the tag match is going to be... That's what I was just about to say. Why even have her in the match then?
Because you know it's just going to be a squash now.
Well, we know that Mickie James is going to do most of the work. And take all of the bumps.
Yeah, that's
against
true.
Lita and Trish. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, just don't even have the match.
Or just...
don't have. Well, you can have a match. Just don't have her in the match.
And I don't see what it hurts to have Trish go against Mickie James. You have a built-in story.
Mm-hmm.
Something we were talking about before, you know, we started the podcast. You have a story that's built there that you don't have to do a whole bunch. So it's right up your alley.
I mean, I get it. I get they're trying to make sure she gets paid because...
then just pay her.
Right, just pay her, though. I think that's what it is because I know when they do the trip to Saudi Arabia, once again, the women won't
here
be
go.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah, and stuff. So, I don't know. I just don't know why it is the way it is. But look, if she's hurt, she's hurt. And why risk any injury, even if you're having her do minor work? Just let her heal herself and she come back. It sucks that she got to miss the first all-women's pay-per-view. But guess what? It's going to be another one.
Right.
And when I look back at this pay-per-view, I may not even remember it. Because I think y'all already doing too much. I think the next one is going to be the better one. Because
you learn from your mistakes.
Yeah, not only learn from your mistakes, but they're not going to overload it. I think they're supposed to have 50-plus women that's supposed to participate in this damn pay-per-view. That's way too many.
That's a lot.
That's way too many. So... I mean, let's see what the next all-women's pay-per-view do. I think that one's going to be the better one. I think right now they're trying to get everybody participating because they never had done this before. And that's going to be cool and stuff for like the nostalgia factor and stuff like that. But as the years go along, hopefully we don't get this nostalgia act every time.
Agreed. Also... for those that don't know, this past Monday morning was the King of Pro Wrestling New Japan show. Jay White, Gato, and Jado joined the Bullet Club OGs. For those like, what? That doesn't make sense. The thing about it, why it makes sense is, I believe it was Bad Luck Fale posted a picture of Jay White when he was in training and himself stating that Finn Balor, or Prince Diva at the time when he was in New Japan, upon forming... the Bullet Club told him, like, hey, this guy is the guy you need to watch for. Let him sit in the wings and develop, but when the time's right, have him join. Perfect example of great storytelling or taking a piece of the past and tying it into what's going on right now. I love the way that New Japan develops the future, per se. Awesome stuff. Shawn Michaels is returning to the ring for those that I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit of this today. But he's going to be returning to the ring to team with Triple H to go against the Brothers of Destruction at the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. Sometimes, I guess. Tracy Williams of Evolve and WWN fame is actually booked as the first entrant into Ring of Honor Survival of the Fittest this November, which is dope. For those not familiar with Survival of the Fittest, it's a show where they take tag matches and singles matches. The six winning competitors, whether it be from the tag team match or a singles match, all face in a six-man elimination match. The winner gets a future world title shot when they choose. Mm-hmm. Tracy Williams is one of the best technicians on the independent scene or wrestling today. He's right under Zack Sabre Jr., if you ask me. The one thing I love about Tracy Williams, he has that throwback ROH feel to his style. So it's going to be interesting if this is a thing where he's going to be booked from here on out. I'd love it. And if you haven't seen Tracy Williams, definitely check him out. Really good stuff. I don't know what this means for him with Evolve and the World Wrestling Network, though, so that's going to be interesting. I don't know if he's branching out or what have you, but hey, I'm all for Ring of Honor using freelance people who aren't under contract and can work wherever they want to just to kind of bolster the roster and mix it up a little bit. It's always good. Kevin Owens. Last night, you guys may have noticed, Bobby Lashley turned and attacked Kevin Owens after the match and went after his knees. That was a way to write off Kevin Owens as he's going to have some minor knee surgery. The thought is he's only going to be out for about 2 to 3 months. So we'll see where that goes. Vince, the rumor is that he's very, very high on Becky Lynch and what she's doing. Even bothered by the fact that fans are cheering her because he feels like it's a Stone Cold effect. He doesn't throw that out very often, so you got to take that like, whoa. Because, you know, Stone Cold is, you know, one of his prized possessions, not possessions, but one of his, you know, prized stars, I would say. He's actually telling people when they come to him, asking him, you know, like, what can I do to bolster my stock here in WWE? He's telling them, watch Becky's promos, watch Becky's in-ring work, watch what she does. That's an example of the brass ring. So I'm all for that. I love it. CMLL, Ace, Superstar, whatever you want to call him, Rush, is going to be joining the Major League Wrestling roster. So that's going to be really, really dope. Rush, if you haven't seen him, he's like, he was in the same group as Alberto Almas. They were both part of Los Ingobernables. But Rush, to me, is more of a hybrid power wrestler. I'm even going to go out on a limb and say what he reminds me of is kind of that I don't even know how to explain him. You just got to watch him. He uses power. He uses high-flying moves. He's that creator wrestler, almost. We'll see how they use him just because, you know, I don't know about his promos, but they're promoting him like it's a big deal and he's going to be prominent. So I'm looking forward to going to the Major League Wrestling TV taping that's going to be in November here in Chicago a lot because I want to see how they use them. It's actually going to be where we went to go see Progress.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good stuff. And then last but not least, King of Pro Wrestling this past Monday morning, Jericho attacked Evil before his match with Zack Sabre Jr., which is, this never happens, where somebody gets beat up before a match and can't do the match. Never happens in New Japan, so it was huge. The crowd was like, what the hell? That being said, it's been booked for the Intercontinental Championship at Power Struggle next month, where Chris Jericho is going to go against Evil for the belt. Very much looking forward to this match if they built this up. So it's going to be great to see. I'm really looking forward to those two guys in the ring. And that is my news and rumors.
Okay. And I'll just add a little thing in there.
But what I mean,
if you were hoping to see Brock in the octagon against Daniel Cormier sometime soon, it won't happen. Because Daniel Cormier has a match next month. That is November, right? Yeah, next month against Derek Lewis. So I would guesstimate maybe 6 months from there, you can possibly have a DC and Brock Lesnar match. But it won't be happening soon. I would say that. It won't be happening anytime soon.
I think that's all I got too, man. That's all I had.
That's all I wanted to add on there. All
right. Quick hits?
Yeah, quick hits time. Quick hits. So we opened up the show, obviously, with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. They reformed the D-Generation X, which never ever broke up anyways. I don't know why they said they reformed, but whatever. To challenge the Brothers of Destruction. Bobby Lashley defeats Kevin Owens. Bobby Lashley turns heel. Bobby Lashley said, fuck you, KO. I beat your motherfucking ass. And then Leo Rush was like, yeah, the big man, I beat your motherfucking ass. That's my man. Bobby Lashley. And he'd come fuck you up. And then that's what he did. He went out there and beat his ass. You know what? Let me ask you about this, though. Because it's not my Raw bad or ugly. Were you surprised by fans and how they was treating Bobby Lashley?
Nope, because that's what they were going for. As soon as...
No, I'm not talking about when he turned heel. I'm talking about during the match.
No, because, well, that's what I'm saying. No, because as soon as they had Leo Rush on the mic still, I was like, okay, this is weird. And then as time went on, he kept saying stuff. I'm like, okay, this, I get what they're doing now. They got to be turning. I didn't get it. Now all the pieces are together with Kevin Owens being out. But at the time, I did think it was weird. I was like, why are they turning? And then, you know, I had turned to it and noticed, I was like, whoa, Leo Rush is going to be on the mic the whole match? I'm like, okay, so this has got to be a heel turn. Because there's no way you have a face manager on a mic talking shit. It just doesn't go together.
Yeah. It just don't go together. I was hoping we didn't get, I was just happy we didn't get.
What was his name?
Damn, what was his name?
I can't even remember, but he was the manager for.
We'll figure it out.
For Titus and what's his name? Ah! And what was their name anyway? Millions of dollars.
Primetime Players.
Primetime, he was the manager for Primetime Players. Yeah. Oh, man. Like Kobe in a hotel room in Denver. He can't be stopped.
You know what's crazy, though? Ah! That Titus should have been the one to go.
Oh, I like Darren Young.
Yeah, Darren Young was way better. You know, I'm surprised he hasn't made a stamp in the indies yet.
But you know, yeah, me too. But you know what?
It is about good to me.
Yeah, I think he could be good. But you know what it is though? Titus is one of Vince's boys. Like our troop.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Even after the whole, you know, back slapping weird stuff that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. I mean, cuz he is a great band and ambassador. So I get it, but I don't know, man.
He's just not your guy.
Yeah, he just can't wrestle. You just got to let him be an ambassador. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. But anyway, the dude's name was AW. So, you hear me?
Yep,
never mind. You didn't hear me. I said,
you said it was AW. What was his name? Something Washington. Yeah, somebody Washington, right?
Yeah. But anyway, let's get back to these quick hits, though. After that, you got the Raw Women's Champion. I don't know why they did this back to back, but they did it back to back. So after that, you got the Raw Women's Champion Ronda Rousey and the Bella Twins defeating the Riot Squad. And after the match, the Bella Twins attacked Rousey after the match. On so many levels, I didn't get this. And we're going to talk about it. I got to talk about it. Got to get it off my chest.
Agree.
After that, Finn Balor and Bayley defeat Jinder Mahal and Alicia Fox. Kurt Angle won a Global Battle Royal to qualify for the WWE World Cup. Ember Moon defeat Nia Jax via countout. Lita returned after Alexa Bliss and Mickie James challenged Trish Stratus to a tag team match at WWE Evolution. Bobby Roode and Chad Gable defeat the Ascension. AOP attacked them after the match, showing the motherfuckers what time it is. Paul Heyman addressed the Universal Triple Threat match at WWE Crown Jewel. I missed that, though. Can you fill me in? Is Brock Lesnar supposed to be a part of that Triple Threat match?
Yeah.
Okay, that's some bullshit off top, because for what? But I understand you're trying to put a show on for them overseas, so I guess I can get it. But I still don't like it. But I get it. Then, Braun Strowman, the Raw Tag Team Champions, Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre defeat the Shield with Dean Ambrose kind of walking away from them.
Weirdness.
Yeah. You know, it's just because it's bad writing. Mm-hmm. It ain't that you have these little nuances going on. And you kind of teasing Dean leaning towards leaving the Shield. It's just that I don't know if it's because they drag it on too much, or it's because they just really kind of just throw it out there and never let it. Little subtle things happen that kind of give you these inklings and make you sit there and go back and be like, oh. That's where this shit came from. Like, I feel like they don't do that anymore. So, I think the reason why fans get annoyed with some of these storylines and stuff like that is because you know how it's going to end. So, it could be great writing, but the fact that I already know how it's going to end makes me tune myself out and I'm no longer interested. So, but we'll see. Maybe they'll throw us a Throw us something else. Throw us for a loop and just do something else with it. I don't know. Maybe Roman turns at some point. We'll see. But anyway, that, my friends, Raw from Chi-Town. What was your Raw, sir?
You know, I went back and forth. And, you know, I don't... It's hard to say, but as much as I hated the finish and what proceeded, so we'll talk about it later, I did enjoy the Shield versus the Monsters of War, or Monster Dogs.
Dogs of War.
Yeah, them. I did enjoy that. I didn't enjoy the storyline part, but I did enjoy the in-ring work and the match itself. That was very enjoyable to me. I thought it was a really good match. I thought everybody got their stuff in, as they say. And I appreciated, you know, the banter that Braun and Drew had back and forth. The only downside I'll say to that is that it's a little bit too soon, but I'll talk about that later. But as a match, I really like this match. I really like the story in the match as far as the in-ring part, even though it was a repeat. I felt like it was different than the match that they did at the Super Showdown. So, that would be my Raw by attrition, though. Only because I feel like I had to pick something.
Yeah. I get you. I don't have a Raw, though.
Yeah. You want to go straight to your bad, then?
No, I'll probably do two bads. That's what I do. Okay. I do two bads. Go ahead. I won't do two ugly. I just do two bads.
Okay.
And stuff, you know. Look, I just think, because I want to talk about this. I think and maybe I'll change my mind as more may come out as to Kevin Owens' injury. But I don't like the way they went about turning Bobby Lashley heel. And how they went about this whole thing with Kevin Owens. Because the rumor already was out there that Kevin Owens would be turning back babyface. And that Kevin Owens would definitely have his persona where, you know, fight Owens fight persona. He's a prize fighter. He wants to get in there. He wants to mix it up with the best of them and win. So we know this was on the table. Then he leaves. Was he hurt then? I don't know. But I would assume that he was hurt then. And so, in turn, just let him go on his hiatus. You could have played that off where he quit and just left it alone. Let him have his knee surgery or whatever it is. And bring him back later on as Kevin Owens to fight Owens fight. Maybe you're doing this because you want Kevin to have an enemy, a rival, a feud when he comes
trying
back.
Trying
to build towards something. But in the end, I don't know. It's just the curl that ain't curling all the way over for me. It just ain't doing it for me. And not that I don't want to see Bobby Lashley heel. For whatever reason, I like to see heel work anyway. I like to see somebody be able to transform and kick in that other gear and be a heel. Because that's a whole different animal. You got to get people to hate you. But at the same time, respect your skill level. And that's a hard thing to do. You know? I just don't know. I just wasn't really feeling how the whole turn just happened. Maybe he just had recently hurt himself and then they just kind of went that route of saying, look, this is what we're going to do now. We're just going to pull the trigger and just do this now. Because obviously, you already had a situation where Kevin Owens attacked Bobby Lashley when he came back. And then now you got a situation where Bobby Lashley attacking Kevin Owens And now the story is going to be that you put him on a shelf. So I think they can have an interesting feud.
It just has to be written correctly.
Yeah.
You got to take your time. You can't do this bullshit rush through.
But how we got to this point, I just wasn't feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was your bad?
My bad was Nia Jax and Ember Moon. Not because the match was trash, but you had an opportunity to have a really good match. Because I feel like on Raw, they have really good matches. Like, you know, like what did we get last week that was really good that we talked about? There was a match last week that happened. Most recently when the Revival went against Dolph and I'm having a bad day with names, man. With Drew McIntyre. Yeah. Jeebus. Anyway, that was a really good match that you didn't expect. So seeing Nia come out to go against Ember, you basically have two faces. I'm like, just get a really good competitive match, which it was, but then you tarnished it with the finish. I don't think it's necessary to have a count-out finish. Why couldn't Ember just beat Nia? I'm okay with that, especially with Nia being out for so long or for a while. You could use this as ring rust if you're not trying to make Nia look weak. But instead, you go the count-out route, and that was just odd to me.
See, this is one of those things I wanted to point out to myself. I'm going to just add on. It wasn't my bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just one of those things where I was just like, maybe I just need to be patient with this. Because maybe they couldn't do something where they just turn Nia back heel. I think she was better as a heel. I think her babyface work was okay. Partially, it was just okay because of how they booked her, though. I would say that I think creative had a lot to do with some of her failures as a babyface. Not that it was a huge failure. Obviously, she got a hold of the Raw Women's title and everything. But just how she was being used, and even in that moment, just wasn't right. But I have to say, I can understand where you're coming from with this match because it's the same old story when it comes to Nia Jax. Let's protect her. Let's make sure she doesn't lose via pin. And let's go back to the, she gonna win because she get counted out because she got too aggressive, missed, and hurt herself. Like, to me, that breeds dummy. That's what that says to me. Like, this person's a dummy. Because this person always put themselves in a situation where they messed themselves up. And now, that doesn't make me feel confident in Nia Jax. So, I wish WWE would do something a little different. Make me feel like Nia is that monster. Nia is that person that you got to go out there. You got to beat and everything. I'd rather Nia make that mistake in ring where somebody capitalized and beat her versus Nia making those mistakes to herself and losing matches.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just my take. My bad though. You know what? I'm gonna just do this. Because I cannot make this my ugly. So my bad is the whole D-Generation X versus the Brothers of Destruction. I just cannot do it. I can't do it.
I agree. I just was going to try to skim over it, but bro, I am with you 100%.
I cannot do it. And I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Kane are way too fucking old for me to want to sit there and watch wrestle. I just can't do it. They cannot go in that ring and put on a great show anymore.
And that Undertaker Triple H match was bad, bro.
Man, and when you can't put on a great show no more, that's the time to walk away. You just have to walk away. Why is it in wrestling these motherfuckers just won't walk away? We had Terry Funk wrestle till he's 137 years old.
I think he still be trying to work too, bro.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, that was admirable for him. But that's not for everybody. Like, I admired that from Terry Funk. But no, sometimes, man, you gotta let go. Especially when you're not in the greatest shape. Granted, Shawn Michaels not in the greatest shape because of the in-ring stuff. Undertaker, too.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain degree, I think Shawn Michaels did more risks, took more risks in the ring and stuff like that than Undertaker did. But they took their beatings. Now Kane, I mean, he probably could surprise you with something, but Kane is one of those dudes that he really can't work unless he got somebody to work with. Unless that wrestler that he's working with can actually put on the show. Kane can't put on the show. He just cannot. He can't. So imagine Kane being in the ring with the Shawn Michaels. That's going to be one terrible part of that whole segment. So I think the nostalgia part, yeah, I think that's going to be dope. Especially when you finally get to see, for the first time since his last match, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, standing in the ring, toe-to-toe. That is going to be an iconic moment. But then, reality sits back in, and I'm like, all right, these motherfuckers really can't go at it like they did in that match.
That nostalgia wears off.
Yeah, that nostalgia is going to wear off real quick. And I'm going to sit there and say, yep, this is going to be trash. But the good thing is, this is not one of those WWE shows where we're going to sit back and we're going to have to remember. Because at the end of the day, this show is going to be a glorified house show. That's really what it's going to be. Don't expect too many titles to change, if any. Just expect them to put on the show, and that is what it is. But I'm just not feeling that. That's a bad, it's a hard pass for me. I just can't do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. I don't even need this. I don't want to see them promote this no more. I'd rather we just get to Saudi Arabia and we just do the show. I don't want to see any promos or anything else cut by Kane, Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, or Triple H. And Triple H can motivate the shit out of a motherfucker. I don't want to hear it, though. Triple H can cut a good damn promo, but I don't want to hear it. Anyway, what was your ugly?
My ugly?
It's probably my ugly, too.
Ambrose and these continuous turn teases, whatever.
Okay.
I don't care. I think we talked about this a little bit last week. You haven't established a real team enough for me to give a shit. If your goal was to turn Dean Ambrose heel, you could have easily done it. Like, stop trying to make things harder. This is not going to work the way you're doing it. You could have just had him come back and call Seth Rollins, and we're there. Having him rejoin doing that, why? Why are we going and hustling backwards? It doesn't make any sense.
Or if you're going to do it, why start the dissension now?
Wait, like, till we give a shit.
You started the dissension of the Shield. Basically, from the jump that Dean Ambrose came back, you already had started with it. Why would you do that? I don't understand it. I don't get it myself. So I'm with you on that.
The last thing I was going to say was, it just bothers me that the times where they should be more, I don't want to say convoluted, but the times where WWE should be a little bit more complex with storylines, they don't. And then when it's very simple and right in front of you on how you should do it, they decide to be complex. It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. Dean Ambrose, if you're trying to get Dean Ambrose to be heel, we would care way more about him attacking, you know, Roman Reigns out of nowhere and them having a feud than him being part of the Shield and then breaking the Shield. That's not really going to make us hate him the way you I think you want us to. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah. I mean, I think you used the right word the first time, though.
What?
Convoluted.
Convoluted.
Yeah, I think you dead on with that, which means complex, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, you ain't gonna get no argument, no debate from me on that. I think I brought that up in the beginning. I just don't get why they doing the things that they doing with Dean Ambrose, that constant tease. There's no subtlety to it whatsoever to kind of engage us and get us there. Because you could have been planting little seeds without it being so obvious. Showing us that, oh, look, these dudes are back together. These dudes are getting along. But it's just little sly things that they should sneak in that the normal fan or even us marks who watch wrestling 24/7 deem a catch. But then when you bring it back and you're like, oh, remember when this happened? Maybe this is... When you bring it all back full circle and people are sitting there like, oh, shit, that got over me. Now I see why. And then it all became a great storyline. Like, oh, shit, what they did there was pretty good. We're not getting that in this whole thing with the Shield. We're not getting that at all. My ugly is just the Bella Twins and Ronda Rousey going over on the Riot Squad. It makes absolutely no sense. Though, first off, every one of those women in the Riot Squad are better than the Bella Twins. It's just what it is. They are all better than the Bella Twins. Obviously, they're all better than Ronda Rousey. As much as I think Ronda Rousey is pretty fucking good in that ring. I ain't gonna lie. She's pretty good. I think they make her talk too much sometimes. And I also think that this whole thing where she's just blocking hits and grabbing you and shit like that, I think that shit is silly as fuck. But I know that's not her. That's Vince McMahon and stuff. Trying to make her the female Brock. I don't get it. Don't understand it. Because you go from 1 week where she has this real competitive match to the next week, she's sitting there and...
Catching fades?
Yeah. For real. No, she's stopping fades. She ain't catching them. She's stopping the fade from happening. And
I was more talking about, you know, Bella's, but...
Yeah. And then, this is the reason why it was a problem. You got the Bella Twins, right? You just got... Brie is on this thing with Daniel Bryan. Maybe that thing with Daniel Bryan and the Miz is over with and the whole Maryse. I don't know. But I don't know how, if possible, if this is what's finna go on still, I don't know how you want to have a face Brie and a heel Brie at the same damn time.
Yeah, they got to end that one storyline.
Yeah.
Unless you're supposed to look at the two shows as different.
No, fuck that. I don't, because it's the same sorry ass fucking trash ass wrestling. And I'm not looking at both shows differently. No, if Brie Bella is on SmackDown, no, if she's on SmackDown, I need to see a heel Brie Bella. I don't want to see her, but if I'm going to see her, I'd rather see a heel Brie Bella. Anyway, and on top of that, they don't need this win. None of them. Ronda Rousey and the Bella Twins did not need this win. What I mean by that? The Riot Squad, first and foremost, are going to be there long term. I don't care if you can sit there and tell me, well, since they're going to be there long term and be in that ring a lot longer than what the Bella Twins and Ronda Rousey are planning on being a part of WWE, and so maybe they could take this L and everything would be all right. No. Because it's what this L does to them. It makes them not a squad anymore. And I think it starts that snowfall of if you're never going to build them up to be that dominant female faction, then you might as well break it all up right now. And I don't think they should break it up right now. I think the Riot Squad are actually a pretty good tandem. I think the tandem was only two people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're a pretty good team together. I like what they bring to the table. And when you finally introduce the women's tag team titles, I think that's what you're going to do. I would like to see them use their bird rules. They free bird rules. My fault. I don't want to get this mixed up with the NBA, with the bird rule. If you don't know what that is and shit like that, figure that shit out. Go look it up. I don't want to explain it. But I would like to see the Riot Squad use those free bird rules and become that dominant faction and tag team champions. I think they're that good. I think you'll be missing the opportunity if you don't do that. And it starts with not allowing them to lose to those who, one, don't need the victory, and two, they don't need the victory because they just turned right on her after the fucking victory. What was the point of turning on her right then and there? And if anything, you know, I'm going to save that. I'm going to rebook something.
Okay.
But I'm gonna rebook it, but not in the way that I would actually rebook it, but what would have made more sense if you're going to have them come out on top. So with that said, fuck that. I'm going to get right into it. Armchair booking. If I'm going to have Ronda Rousey and the Bella Twins defeat the Riot Squad, and then have the Bella Twins turn on Ronda Rousey, this is what I'm doing. If this is my option, if this is what Vince is telling me, this is what I want you to do, then I'm going to cause a stir during the match. I want them to somewhat be bitter and bickering during the match because
to build to this
ending. Whether that's one of the Bella Twins not really liking how Ronda Rousey tagged one of them, or one of them getting accidentally hit by Ronda Rousey because the Riot Squad kind of provoked that and baited her into swinging and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something would have happened, and then I would have had, obviously, because I have no other choice, Ronda Rousey or somebody end up defeating one of the Riot Squad. I didn't like that finish neither, by the way. I didn't like that whole, do a double arm bar. And
yeah, that was weird. That, like, shit was okay. Weird.
That was just doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
I do live in fantasy world because I love my anime. I love my MCU. If you don't know what the MCU is, Marvel Comics Universe and shit. And I love my wrestling. Damn near 80% of what I watch is fantasy world. I know this.
Mm-hmm.
So I love my fantasy world, but I can't double arm bar and you making them both tap and then you... no, I can't do it. I won't do it. I cannot suspend my belief that far. So, but anyway.
You said, I can't keep pretending.
Yeah, but if I'm rebooking something, that's what I'm rebooking and that's how I would end it. But obviously, my real rebook is the Riot Squad just goes over because they cannot get along. Something happened within that match as to why they couldn't get along. The Riot Squad capitalizes on it, pins one of them. Brie Bella could have took that L. Even if you didn't want to have Nikki take the L, Brie could have took that L for them. Because I can understand why you wouldn't have Rousey take that L.
Mm-hmm.
But Brie could have took that L. And Rousey don't need to be undefeated. It doesn't matter if she is or isn't. It wouldn't take away from the mystique. Because, one, this is a tag match. So it ain't going to take away from what Ronda Rousey brings to the table. It's almost like, you know what's a good example? The other day, Aaron Judge was talking shit about how, you know, basically they're going to fuck the Boston Red Sox up and stuff. And I remember watching sports. I was watching First Take. And Stephen A. was like, man, look. You as an individual, he said, I don't like when players in that sport talk like that. Because you as an individual can show up.
But you need, everybody else to show up and do their job.
And in baseball, that just doesn't happen all the time.
In baseball, it's even more because you got to count on the pitcher. You got to count on to get hit. You got to count on the outfielders. You got to count on the people on base. And if somebody messes up, I'm not trying to get a sore spot, but you end up like the Cubs. You have a 13-inning game. Everybody ain't doing any job, and then shit just goes ahead.
Yeah, the pitching did their job. The hitters didn't.
Right.
That's just what it is. You know? You can't ask much more from John Lester. I mean, he did his thing. But anyway, going back to it, right? It still ain't going to take away that Aaron Judge is a beast.
Right.
He's a beast when he comes up to that plate. I mean, you talking about, I think, dude like 6'6", some shit. I mean, just swinging the hell out of the fucking bat. But guess what? Nobody else showed up, so they all sucked that day. I mean, this could have been the same thing.
Team sport.
Ronda Rousey could have showed up. But guess what? Brie Bella sucked that day, so they lost. She sucks any fucking way. In real life wrestling. She fucking sucks.
He said it really. We're not kayfabe.
That's not even kayfabe. No, we're not kayfabe in any damn thing. She fucking sucks. Probably a great human being, though. I'm not going to take that from her. Great human being. But sometimes, hey, man, some things ain't meant for you. And wrestling ain't meant for you. But because you got a pretty face and you want to do it, they want to put you out there. But if I hear fucking commentators talking about what y'all brought to the fucking table, to the wrestling business, one more game, I'm going to shoot my fucking TV. I'm going to do like my great-great-grandmother when she used to watch wrestling. And something pissed her off,
shoot it.
I'm going to shoot the fucking TV.
Shoot.
Yep. That's a real-life true story.
True story. My grandmother,
see, wrestling has always been one of those things that people in my family have watched. And my grandmother, my great-grandmother, shot her TV.
I wonder what happened that she snapped. Who was it?
I forgot. My mom used to tell me the story all the time. Said she shot a damn TV, though.
Damn. It was when Dusty Rhodes got jumped.
Probably.
In the parking lot.
Probably was.
You know the funny story about that, too? People called 911 when they saw it. And they were like, the four horsemen are jumping Dusty Rhodes in the parking lot. You know you did your damn job.
Well, they sit there.
People call the police.
It was that real? Yeah. What would you armchair book, sir, after I went on my rant?
If I had to armchair book anything, you know, obviously, it goes without saying, I'm not doing this whole, you know, DX versus Brothers of Destruction, but I would book Nia Jax and Ember Moon in an actual rivalry that doesn't involve them being heels. It's just a competitive rivalry. And you could have Ember Moon beat Nia Jax and clean. And it just be like, you know what, Ember, you have my number today, but next week I want you one-on-one again. I still got ring rust. That's okay to do. And I will book it that way. And you could have a series of matches because you have a storyline behind it, which is different than, you know, because I complain about the Ascension against the Glorious Ones. That's what I'm calling them from now on. That being an every week thing. That being said, I don't mind, you know, 2-3 weeks of your, like, a best of three between Ember and Nia Jax. So what I would do is I'd have Ember win and then afterwards do a segment in the back where they're interviewing Nia, like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Have Charlie interview her. And Charlie, like, you know, and then Nia could be like, you know what? It's ring rust from not being in the ring, but I got her next time. And then have Ember come up and be like, you know what? You can get your rematch, but I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. I would care. Yeah. It doesn't have to be a blood feud every time. It could just be, for lack of a better term, friendly competition. But it easily writes itself instead of protecting Nia from losses. This is sometimes losses can help because then you can use it as a catalyst to say, you know what, Nia brought out her vicious side, and then she beats Ember, and then Ember's like, you know what, I know I can beat you. I know I can beat you. So let's go one more time, last time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just those type of things to get you to tune in next week because you want to see a competitive match. So that's how I would reboot that.
Yeah. And you know what? I guess we all feel, maybe we get taking this take on it about that match in particular. Maybe our take is a little skewed to a certain degree.
Because Nia's fine? Or
a little jaded? No, because I don't think either one of us feel like that they ever going to catapult Ember Moon to the women's title at any point or anytime soon.
Yeah, I was going to say not anytime soon. Not while Ronda's here, but I believe that once
definitely
Ronda's
not while Ronda's here. But even then, she's not holding that title.
What?
I think she's going to go, if she's going to hold a title, it's going to be on SmackDown.
Ooh.
I don't think she's holding that title.
Interesting.
Because this is what WWE has trained us for.
Mm, good point.
You know, I can sit there and tell you, because there was no reason why Asuka shouldn't have held that title.
Man, I don't even start on that ball.
They don't, you know, they don't even want to put the SmackDown title on Asuka. And how do you not do that? How the fuck she losing to Carmella? Matter of fact, why the fuck did she have to lose her streak to Charlotte?
That's the big one.
I mean, it's just, WWE has conditioned me to be glass half full. That's, they have conditioned me to be, you know what, all right, that's halfway. It's going to be decent. It'll wet the whistle. But it ain't like that full cup of red Kool-Aid. What flavor you want?
Red.
That's all I'm saying. Purple. But it ain't a full cup of the red Kool-Aid. And I need that full cup. I don't want a glass half empty or glass half full. However people want to say it and put it together. I want my full cup. Fuck that. I want a pitcher. I want a pitcher of red Kool-Aid. And I want it made right. Extra sugar, motherfucker. And get my shit done right. That's all I'm telling y'all. That's all I'm saying, man.
No, they're using Splenda.
And so, no, yeah, the straight up. They just going straight Kool-Aid. Oh, no chase, no water.
It already comes with sugar.
Right.
Yeah. Oh.
Fuck that.
If anybody's listening and you one of them, it already comes with sugar and a kid.
They've gotten a lot better now with that.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can actually make it without actually adding sugar.
You sure it's not Gatorade?
I remember that time. When they used to make that shit, no sugar, you don't need to add sugar. You just hell no, that shit was disgusting. Now, yeah, that shit's
drinking straight food coloring.
Oh man, used to love hitting up the corner store, man. When motherfuckers used to have he's called Dixie Cups.
Yes.
Had a Dixie Cup, nigga, man. That motherfucker.
Well, remember in 78th grade having the baggie of the Kool-Aid, you use your finger walking around, fingers all red and blue.
Yep.
Teacher's like, what is that? Like, it's Kool-Aid, man.
Yep, because I mean, and you get the little syrupiness at the top of the cup.
Yeah, that remind me again, like chili powder and Lucas, the sweet, the sour Lucas.
Man. My kids don't know nothing about that. I should do that for them one day.
They really don't know nothing
about that. Hell no, go buy some styrofoam cups, make some Kool-Aid, put some extra sugar in that motherfucker, pour that let that shit freeze. Man.
Ooh, those were the best.
Penny candy.
I mean, you know they don't know nothing about that. You go up in with a dollar, you come with a bag of fruities looking crazy as hell.
I remember a pack of knowledge used to be a nickel.
Yes.
Now it's a quarter.
You sound old.
Yeah, man. Look, hey.
Chicolette.
Give me some Chico sticks, man.
Man.
Shit.
And Chico stick.
Yeah. Man, don't have me get to talking about all the candy Boston
baked beans. He's gonna go out tonight and get some candy. He's like, hold on, let me go to Walmart.
Man, I used to love Chico sticks. That's the only thing at the time that I would eat that had coconut in. Because that, like, my grandpa.
You couldn't really taste it, though. Could you?
Yeah, you can feel it. You know, my thing is, I love the flavor of coconut.
You just don't like the texture of coconut. Yes, that's I don't like it either. I hate it when people put it on a cake. I'm like,
oh
man.
Oh yeah, I make a mean coconut pineapple cake, dude. See, because that's what my grandfather used to love. My grandmother used to make it for him all the time.
Ah.
Yeah, she used to make the, you know, get the yellow cake. She make that. Well, she used to make it home from scratch. She make a yellow cake.
Yeah.
And add the little coconut on there, the little vanilla frosting, put some pineapples and a little cherry. Man, yo. Oh,
man, you make me hungry, bro.
That shit used to look good, and so I got ready to eat it, and it was good, but I couldn't take it down.
That damn coconut?
That coconut. That
shavings.
Yeah, that's why. I don't know how motherfuckers was able to eat mounds and almond joy.
I was just about to say, what candy is that?
Yeah. Almond joy got nuts. Mounds don't. Yeah. But anyway, that's going to be it for this week's The Raw, The Bad, The Ugly. I know I went on like a real long rant about just random shit this whole podcast. I apologize, but then I don't.
So, it all went together, baby.
Yep.
It all went together. That's what we do.
I don't know how the candy incorporated into the podcast, but if you can't figure that shit out, then I can't help you. And I can't help you because I can't figure it out.
We are. Hey, we just go with the flow.
Yeah. I just threw it in there for some odd reason. But anyway, with that said, be sure to check out 1515 Nav and all of the content. Be sure to rate, subscribe, review to the podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just type in 1515. That's Google Play Music, by the way, you need to go to. I always forget to say that. I'll be wanting to tell myself, say that shit.
You can search on Google Play, though.
Yeah.
You can search it that way.
Oh, yeah, you could. It'd be easier, though.
It'd be easier if you go to Google Play Music.
Well, fuck that. I don't need to ask Google Play Music. No. Go to Google Play, type in 1515 Nav, and you find out the podcasts such as Equal Opposites, Lace Them Up, Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Wrestling Roundtable, Studio Flow, the MWT Podcast, Mac and D Talk TV. And of course, if you want to just go straight to our podcast because you like, fuck the mother hitters and I'm down for my hitters, and we your hitters, just type in Wrestling, RASSLIN, Roundtable, and you'll find the RBU podcast, the GTS podcast, along with all the special events podcasts. And we're not even going to talk about the Super Showdown because that shit was whack.
It was a house show.
So you don't have to get that from us.
And even if we did talk about it, there's no implications to anything that happened. So it's kind of like, aside from the big storyline was a storyline we don't care.
Yeah, the only big implication that happened was Buddy Murphy beating Cedric Alexander, which was a pretty decent ass match too. And I ain't no Buddy Murphy. I said, I can't get this dude name out my mouth.
He's not the first Australian born champion. You know how they said that? It's Nia Jax.
Nia Jax is Australian born?
Yep.
I like to get down under that.
I knew that was coming. Like, in my head, I heard it before it happened. And I was like, you know what? He's going to do it.
Yeah.
I know he's going to do it.
Yeah, I got to shoot my shot.
I already know. I always got to shoot my shot. I know this dude way too well, man.
Yeah, got to shoot my shot.
That's 20-some years of friendship right there. Because I just saw it in his eyes. As soon as, you know, you're saying something and you see the person, like, you about to say something crazy as hell. I know.
Like to give Nia some of this dingo.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there? You see what I did there?
She's single, no? Oh, no, she was with Luke Gallows. Is she really messing with Luke Gallows? Or was he wolfing?
I don't know, man.
You better be doing it right, boy.
Yeah, boy. She was like, yo, that boy like a kangaroo. He be hopping in and out the... Now I'm leaving it at that. Hey, it's me, Sterling Pearl.
It's Villa.
And we out.